すればや、オンナモバーグヴェテバスデバヤ、オンナモバーグヴェテバスデバヤ、Sri Gopya Uchaha Sri Gopya Uchu Bhajatanu Bhajanteka Eka Etad ViparyayanNobhayaṃśca bhajanteka Etanno bruhi sadubho Bhajatanu bhajanteka Eka etad viparyayamNobhayaṃśca bhajanteka Etanno bruhi sadubho To the gopis said Bhajata To those who respect them Anu ReciprocallyBhajanti, show respect. Eke, some. Eke, some. Etat, to this. Viparyayam, the contrary. Na ubhayan, with neither. Cha, and.Bhajanti, reciprocate. Eke, some. Etat, this. Na, to us. Bruhi, speak. Sadhu, properly. Bho, oh dear one. Translation and purport.The gopis said, some people reciprocate the affection only of those who are affectionate toward them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical. And yet others will not show affection toward anyone. Dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter to us. Purport.By this apparently polite question, the gopis want to expose Lord Krishna's failure to properly reciprocate their love. They were very disturbed when Sri Krishna left them in the forest, and they want to know why he caused them to suffer in these loving affairs. Mukham karadivachalam pangum langayate girim jad kripa tamaham bhande shri gurum dinatalinam. They were very disturbed when Sri Krishna left them in the forest. And this feeling is the paramount of spiritual emotions.They wanted to expose Lord Krishna's failure, but actually it's not a failure, but this is the rasa or the mellow of the lover who has left them. And thus, as we know, that the emotion of attachment and meditation becomes more intensified.So these particular sections of the Bhagavatam are very important to us because actually they're showing the culmination of love of God. This was the mood that was enjoyed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in Jagannath Puri. And he was in this particular mood of where is Krishna? And he would be wandering around at night or rubbing his head across the walls of the Gambira, rubbing his face along the walls. And they would have to lock him in. And sometimes at night time he would go outside somehow and they would find him 15 miles up the beach in a fisherman's net, and his body was 10 feet long and his knuckles had all, you know, separated from their joints, and his knees and elbows, and like, what was he doing? He was experiencing this emotion. Where is Krishna? We had Krishna, he was dancing with us, and now he's gone. So this is the highest, this is the culmination, this is the this is one of the reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, to experience these emotions and enjoy this most intensified meditation on the Beloved, on the Lord. And this is the mood that was, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated his followers into. Hey Radhe Vraja Devi ke chalalite hai nan lushuno kuta. The Goswami is there. Go shanta vidi sarvato braja pure kadai mahavibalo. The Goswamis, they are braja, they are iti sarvako braja pure, all over Vrindavan. They are like madmen and they are experiencing the great mahavibalo, the great, we could say disaster, or the great emptiness. Hey Radhe, Braja Devike, O Queen of Vrindavan, Hey Nanda Shuno, Hey Son of Nanda Maharaj, Kuta, where are you? Where are you? And Prabhupada sometimes quotes this in response to those who claim to have seen Krishna. Oh yes, Krishna came last night to me in a dream. Yes, I see Krishna. I see Krishna in the gopis. I hear Krishna's flute. But even the most intimate followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never express this. Their expression was that they don't see Krishna. That where is Krishna? They're looking for Krishna. Gova, Sri Gova, Nanakalpa, Padapat Kale. Are you under the trees on the hill Govardhan? Kalindi Bani Kuta, or are you on the banks of the Jamuna River? In this way, they're wandering all over Vrindavan looking for Krishna and looking for Radharani. And this is their meditation. And this is the Gaudiya Vaishnav mood, as is explained by the model Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the six Goswamis. So, we can actually understand that this is the tradition that we have been initiated into, and the inheritance that is waiting for us when we mature in our bhajan, our worship of Krishna. And actually, this is what Mahaprabhu says when he says, you know, what is that? Chetodavanam bhajan. Sreyakarai Vachandriga Vitaranam Vidyavaru Jivanam Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, the ever increasing ocean of transcendental bliss. Savatmasnapanam, which bathes the soul. This is actually what everyone is looking for, relationship with Krishna in a most intensified way. And Krishna Bulli, having not being able to access or connect to Krishna in this type of direct relationship, Krishna Bulli, having forgotten Krishna, Sei Jiva Anadir Bahirmukha, we've become attached to the Bahirmukha, the external energy of Krishna. And this is why, as Prahlad Maharaj explains, that Matina Krishna Parato Sarova Vipo Mit Vipadyeta Griha Bratanam. Brata means a vrata, a determination. Why is there such a determination of the materialists? Why are they so absorbed in material pursuits? Because it's a reflection, it's a perverted reflection of absorption in Krishna. We're meant to be like this, fully 100%, more than 100%. We're meant to be completely mad over remembrance of Krishna. Nidra hara vihara kaji vijijo tatyanta dino chayo. Radha Krishna guna shmite madhuri manandena shamohito. Radha Krishna guna, the Goswamis remembering the qualities of Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna guna shmite, remembering Radha and Krishna, samohito, they have become completely madmen and completely samohito means complete bewilderment, complete enchantment in the qualities of Radha and Krishna. So the materialists, reflecting that, they become completely absorbed in the material nature and firmly attached to it. Dhrita bratanam, a firm vow to get something out of this material nature. And what is it they're trying to get out? They're trying to get out the rasa. They're trying to taste rasa. They're trying to taste the mellow, the taste, that flavour of these emotions. They're trying to get it by squeezing the material, just like taking a damp cloth and trying to squeeze it out, some drop of nectar, of rasa. You can see. Why do they work so hard to get qualifications, to get certification, to get career? Because they want to enjoy the rasa that comes from being a big man, being a company head, being a materialist, a successful materialist. It's the rasa. It's not the objects in themselves. Having a big house, nice, you know, you drive a nice car, new car, BMW, or Mercedes, and you know, you drive home and you press the button and the auto garage opens up and you drive into your little parking spot, which is perfectly reserved for your Bimana, your transcendental airplane, and then you can walk into your house, and everything is there. And it's the feelings that you get at the end of the day when you can enjoy, you know, the feeling that, yes, I have all these things, I'm the enjoyer, I am the controller. Because you see that in simple lifestyles, people with absolutely nothing in comparison. You know, we preach in the villages in Bangladesh, and the people have, their whole life is a mud hut, and the beds are made from, you know, from the rope that has grown, the jute, and they make beds from the rope and the wood, and they're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and they're just as happy. Even there's a regularly quoted, some sort of a survey was done, and they found that the Bangladesh people were the happiest people in the world. They did some questionnaire. Why? Because the same rasa is there. I'm the head of the family. I have my children. I have my wife, my shohar danamini, my assistant. And he's feeling the same, you know, he's enjoying the same little bit of rasa, material rasa, that the person who has all of this sophisticated materialistic opulence enjoys. So what is the enjoyment? It's not the external objects. It's the relationships with these things and the mood that it creates in your mind. So everyone's looking after this rasa in every aspect of life. They want control. They want to be. They want to be appreciated. Basically, they all want to be loved. We want to be loved. We want to be loved. And we're so much addicted to materialistic endeavors because we have faith that through materialism through successful materialism will enjoy that love, will experience that being, that love. It'll come to us. I will be loved. I will be appreciated. I'll be loved when I'm materially successful. And ultimately, it always ends in frustration materially, because you can never get that love you're looking for in this material world. Because atmendriya priti vancha. Everyone is interested, atmendriya. Everyone is interested in their own sense gratification. And no one really can love you. No one really loves you. What do we love? Atmendriya priti, satisfaction of our senses. And we will, here is explained that reciprocate affection only to those who are affectionate toward them. So this so-called love in this material world, it's just some artificial or superficial behavior which we do in order to get some sort of reciprocation. The husband loves the wife. It's not real love. It's because the jiva vegam udarapashta vegam are satisfied by the wife. That's why he shows affection, because the jiva vega udarapashta vegam is being dealt with. And if that's not dealt with, then we're in big trouble. We're suffering because of the urges of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. So that object that can relieve that suffering, that becomes the recipient of my affection. But you find when the wife stops fulfilling the requirements of jiva vega udara pasta vega, when she can no longer satisfy the tongue, belly, and genitals of the husband, the relationship breaks down. And you see that all this divorce is there. Why? Because I'm investing all this effort into maintaining the relationship, and I'm not getting the basic necessities satisfied. And so in this way, the relationship, Prabhupada says, as soon as there's disturbance in sexual satisfaction, then the relationship breaks down, and I find another partner. And a change, it's something new. So in that way, it's satisfied for some period of time. But you'll never actually... And you see that, the highest, the best thing the materialists have got to offer, just do an examination of material values. And what's the best thing they've got to offer? Because the best thing they've got to offer is selfless service and dedication to one's family. That's the best thing, Western culture has to offer. That, you see, of course, we travel on airplanes, and so sometimes you have to see these movies. So this is the at the end, the moral of the story, the values are always presented, The values are there in this entertainment, because people want values. And they used to get them from the ministers of religion. You'd go and you'd get the sermon, you'd get values, the higher qualities of life. Attitudes, appropriate attitudes, morality. But now people, they get it from the movies. At the end, there's some value, like the guy's wife and family are kidnapped, and he has to give all the details for the bank, security, so that the criminals can crack in and transfer all the funds. And then, in the end, he kills all the guys and saves his wife and children, and then they embrace him, daddy, and he saves his marriage, which is, And that's it. Yes, this is what life's all about. It's these family. He loves his family. It was more important to him his family or the other one. He gave up his career hopes, for his family, for his wife and his children. Oh, that's what they mean when they say the way of life that we stand for. We're propagating our way of life. That's about as high as it gets. But it's just cheating. You don't really love them. They're just providers of those feelings of the rasa that we're looking for. And because those objects are providing them, then we invest so much into the relationship. And so in this way, it's never really materialistic, relationships. They're never really satisfying. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, actually here it's the word is given, viparyayam, the opposite. The opposite is there. We want, the material world means duality. Means that, duality means you look on the front of the building and you see beautiful facades, beautiful sculpture, beautiful decorations and masonry, and very attractive on the front of the building. And then you go around the alley and you look in the back. And then you see, a big dirty machine, air conditioner, and pipes, sewerage pipes coming out, and bags of rubbish piled up in the alley. Do you see this? Is this true? This is material world, it's duality. In order to make that nice facade that here is everything is symmetrical, everything is clean, everything is aesthetic, in order to make that, to build that, then there's so much trouble. And you can't avoid the trouble side of it in the material world. And that's everything in the material world. You look around the back and you see the flip side, all the trouble and all the effort that has to go into maintaining it. But we just want the front side. That's what the soul wants, and that's available in the non-dual world, in the spiritual world, where there is no flip side. That to Chintamani Dham, that is Chintamani Prakarashadma Shukalpa Vriksha Lakshavriteshu Shurabi Abhivalayantam, that there every pebble is Chintamani Prakara. It's built from the spiritual, the spiritual building blocks, the spiritual stones, Chintamani. Chintamani, there's different types of money. Money means a stone, valuable gem. Chintamani. What's the other one? The other one is, forget. But the one Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami had one. What's that called? Yeah, but, huh? No, it's a touchstone. It's another type of Dibyamani or something. Something. But it turns everything to gold. Parasmani. That's it. Desire stone. Parasmani. Everything it touches turns to gold. But the Chintamani, everything it comes in contact with, Chinta means Chaitana, means spiritual consciousness. So the Chintamani means that it's not even gold, it's spiritual. Everything it touches is spiritual. Chintamani. So all it's Chintamani Prakara. It's all, everything is built with a spiritual substance. Everything is fully conscious in the spiritual world. Everything is fully, we could say, buzzing, is vibrating with relationship with Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Everything. Without exception. And there's no difference between your body and your soul. The swarup siddhi, that you are your eternal identity, and there's no covering on that. And therefore you can fully enjoy and fully reciprocate with Krishna without any reverses. But materialistic relationships, just like materialistic objects, they have the double side. So similarly, materialistic relationships. It's just like the example analogy Prabhupada gives in the Nectar of Devotion preface. He says there that the Krishna consciousness will turn on the light. It's the one switch which turns on the light, which illuminates everything. And he says that it's the central point from which real love and harmony can manifest. And the example is given of throwing the pebbles into the pond. And so when they're all thrown in the same place, then nice centrifugal waves harmoniously emanate from that point. But then when you throw pebbles in all different places in the pond, then the waves, they all clash with each other. Boom, bang, bang, bang. And it's not harmonious. So that's, unless we're all focused on Krishna, Krishnendriya priti vancha tare bole prem, tare prem nam prem. Unless we're all Krishnendriya priti vancha, unless we're all desiring to serve and please the senses of Krishna, then there'll always be disharmony and confusion in the material world. So similarly, these materialistic relationships, they always give us trouble. Anadira bahirmuka ata eva maya tare deva shamsha dukho. It is the cause of our suffering is this attachment to the material energy. Mahaprabhu says, ata eva, therefore, anadira bahirmuka, that we've become attracted to the external energy, the bahir, the muk, the superficial feature of the Lord, the external energy. Therefore, ata eva, maya tare deva shamsha dukho. Therefore, this external energy is always giving him trouble. So these relationships, and shangshar duk, the word shangshar, what does it mean? It means family existence. In Bengali, the word for family life is shangshar. I think in Hindi too.
Yeah.
Shangshar. When you're in family life, then you're suffering. Because all of these relationships are reflections of real spiritual relationships. And therefore, it's considered usually, usually that a person is entangled in material life if he's attached to family relationships. Because why? The reason why is because he can't fully immerse himself in attachment to Krishna. Having all these other things in the heart. Having all these other... Because you can't live in family life and not have attachment and affection. It doesn't work. So those temporary relationships, they take up space in the heart. That's all meant for relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada said, one devotee was saying, about his marriage. And Prabhupada said, just pick any woman. And he said, but what if you don't love? He said, love? That's not love. Love is for Krishna. Love is meant for Krishna. But we're not anti-shangshar, family life, but we are Krishna shangsharis. We have family life based on Krishna. And that's a very safe position to be in, especially in the Kali Yuga. Then we can actually... With devotees, relationships with devotees, we can also experience transcendental rasa. It's not that we become Kanishka Adhikari. Kanishka Adhikari means Ishara Taradineshu. Bali, no, what is it? Acharam Evaharaye Pujam Sradayate. That he worships the Lord, the deity of the Lord. Nacha bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smitaha, but he doesn't have relationships with other devotees. Nacha bhakteshu chanyeshu, not with devotees and with others, but he has relationship with the Lord. So that person who says, "Oh yeah, well it's all Maya, and I don't want to have any relationships in this material world because I'll have to have the backside and the clashing of desires, and I don't want that. So it's just me and Krishna, just me and Krishna." That's a devotee, but it's low-class devotee, kanishta. It's a beginning, or you could say third-class devotee. So that's not the platform we should remain on. But we should come to the platform of having loving relationships with devotees. And on that principle, we can enjoy family life in devotional consciousness, because the family are devotees. So on that basis, we can have prema maitri kripa opeksha sa karoti samadhyama namadhyam bhakta ishure taradineshu balisheshu dvishachasha, that he worships the Lord, he makes friendships with devotees, he's merciful to the innocent, he avoids the envious. So in this way, the relationships through friendships with devotees, the spiritual relationships, can be enjoyed. And we see that this is the best way to get friendships in Krishna consciousness is to serve in association of other devotees. And just by serving alongside of other devotees, the relationships develop. And we have experience that if you go and do some service in the kitchen with other devotees, then as a result of that we could say communal or cooperative service of the Lord, very deep and wonderful relationships are established. Just like we see devotees we'll be living with, and then we separate for some time, and then again their reunion. Then there's so much happiness and reciprocation is there, and it's all based upon the previous experiences of serving Krishna together. And those relationships are without, we could say, the reverses, because we're not trying to get something out of those relationships for our own satisfaction. Those relationships are based upon a cooperative endeavor to please Krishna and satisfy Krishna. So in this way, we can directly, and of course, relationship with the spiritual master, also we can enjoy rasa. Brahmacharya Guru Kule Basantanta Guru Hidam. That in the ashram of the spiritual master, the brahmachari, he controls his senses, and Guru Hidam, he lives entirely for the benefit of the Guru. Prabhupada gives the example that he goes out and collects all the alms, and then if the Guru doesn't, but it's not for him that he's collecting. The Guru doesn't call him, he won't come and take. Of course, we used to distribute prasadam, and we used to sit and take prasadam, and there wouldn't be enough, you know, we wouldn't get enough halva and puris, and we'd say, who's collecting all the money to buy this stuff? But I heard that when our GBC, Prabhupada Vishnu Swami Maharaj, was a temple president in England, then he used to say that the Sankirtan devotees should get extra prasadam. But anyway, the attitude shouldn't be that we collected it all, now it's for our enjoyment. No, Guru Hitam, it's for the mission of the Guru. It's for his purpose, and 100%. And this is what brahmachari training is about. And sometimes people say, oh, you know, the brahmacharis, they should, you know, maybe they'll enter household life after some time, so they should keep some of their collection in an investment. And that is not appropriate. That's not what the scriptures say. That the Guru Hitam, it's meant for the Guru, everything. And why is that wonderful? Because he's tasting the rasa. He's getting more than investing a little bit of money in the bank for his future. His future is investing in his downfall. But he's enjoying that experience of being of serving Krishna and his the taste of having anya abhilashita shunya, all other desires free, removed from the heart. Anya abhilash, other desires shunya, are not there. He's only interested in satisfying the Guru. He's experiencing that pure devotional service. Jnana karmada navritam. Anukulena Krishnanu. It's all for Krishna's pleasure. Shilanam bhaktir uttam. He's enjoying the taste of first class devotional service. So that's the highest position. That's the most fortunate position, to be completely devoid of any material considerations and fully serving the Lord. And that's what the brahmachari ashram is meant for. And one gets the rasa, he gets that taste of reciprocation from the Lord. And that type of reciprocation, the Lord is the greatest reciprocator. Navai jana jatu katanchana brujen mukunda sevanya varanga shang smritim. Narad Muni is explaining when Vyasadeva, he's explaining to Vyasadeva that all of these teachings you've given in the Vedas about materialistic progress, the chaturvaga, the ritualistic processes for enjoying material life, he's saying, what is the value? Kovarta aptam abhajatam svadharma. What is the value if you perfectly follow all of these rules of the dharma if it's abhajatam? If it's devoid of developing affection for Krishna, what's the value? Kovarto abdam, where's the value in that? If it's abhajatam, if it doesn't awaken bhajan, love for Krishna, it's of no value, he says. Whereas he says that chaktvasvadharmam chananam bhujam hare bhajan apakvota patet tato jari. Even your devotional service you fall down from the platform of devotional service. Even without achieving full maturity, he says, what is that? Kovata aptam abhajatam. Chaktvasadam charanam bhujam hare bhajan apakvota patitto jadi. Yatrukava badrama buddha mushikim. He says, where is the inauspiciousness in that? He says, even you fall down from the path of devotional service, there is nothing inauspicious in that. Having taken to the path of full surrender, but after some time you find, oh, I have to go and do this, I have to go and do that. But Narada says, better you encourage people to take to full surrender to Krishna consciousness. Because, in the next verse he says, Navajana jatu katanchana brajen mukunda sevanga varanga shang smritim. Shmaran mutu mukundangri upaguhunam puna vihatam ichchem narasa grahujanaha. He says, because such persons, they are rasa grahis. They've got the taste. They've tasted the rasa of mukunda seva, a service to mukunda. Smaran mukundangri upaguhunam puna. They can remember that taste again and again and again. That is the greatest achievement. That we've had that taste. That is the real investment. That taste is there, and we can withdraw. You know, we can access that. The credit is there. The rasa grahi. We've got the. You know, we've had the experiences of full service of Krishna, of full dedication, full surrender to Krishna's order. And that's why this institution is so important, these ashrams and such a training institution like Melbourne, Mahaprabhu Mandir, because it gives opportunity for persons to come and take full shelter. Ashram, it means shelter. Shelter of what? Shelter of your own material desires that are constantly plaguing you. You can come here, you can transcend them. Why? Here, do this service. Clean the temple, go on collection, go on book distribution, go on Harinam, go to the restaurant. Here, take this. No more room for these material interests. We can take full shelter. That's ashram of spiritual, and get the taste. So this institution is so important to be maintained. It's giving such facility for persons to come and fully absorb themselves in service to Krishna. That's what the ashram is for. And that's very fortunate for those persons who are able to take it up and experience. And such persons can experience the rasa just through their relationship with Guru, through the relationship with Vaishnava. They can enjoy the unlimited spiritual, anandam burivardhanam, unlimited spiritual happiness, by actually experiencing the types of relationship that we are inherently ours in relationship to service of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Could you explain
Krishna likes Krishnendriya, the senses of Krishna, priti, satisfaction. So Krishna has ears. So we come every morning, we chant, we glorify him. He's listening. He has eyes, he's watching us dance. For him, in glorification, in dancing out of joy, out of his wonderful qualities. And we're dancing, remembering him. So seeing us dance and hearing us chant his name, hearing us discuss his teachings, his pastimes, Bhagavatam, he's hearing. This is Krishnendriya Priti. This is satisfying the senses of Krishna. We're offering bhoga, so many nice eatables every day. You know, I'm here in Melbourne and it's such a difference. Mahaprasad. And Krishna, he's enjoying so much, you know, from early in the morning. Milk sweets, hot milk. Just imagine if I had at 4 a.m. milk sweets and hot milk, that'd be it. I'd be finished for the whole day. And then I ate the fruits, and then again, you know, puri sabji at 8 o'clock. And Raja, and it's he's enjoying. It's all, this is what is Krishnendriya Priti. It's what we're doing here. Propagating his teachings, distributing knowledge about him, educating people about him, having festivals for him. Coming up, Janmashtami. This is it. Krishnendriya Priti. Just fully absorb yourself in these activities. Doesn't get any better.
How do you create love for the lotus feet?
You asked me that last time. I told you. Mm-hmm. I thought the answer I gave last time was good. You love that person who's sitting at the lotus feet. Prabhupada. And those who are serving Prabhupada. You love them. Serve them. They're at the lotus feet of Krishna. So if you want to love the lotus feet, Bhāra Padma, then you serve that person who's sitting at the lotus feet. Serve him. Love him. That's the most pleasing to Krishna too. Name bhakti janaha priyaha. Mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktastami bhaktuttamata. He says that he's devoted to my devotee. He's my real devotee. Mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktastami bhaktuttamata. In my opinion, he's the highest devotee, Krishna says. Mataji. What's the question?
How do you kind of approach Chaitanya Leela?
Hear it in the association of Chaitanya's devotees. That's all. Well, that's also you're hearing it in Prabhupada's association, and that's it. Basically, just keep hearing it. Prabhupada's order. We hear, he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, and on his order we study and read it and discuss, and we just hear it just like this. We don't understand all of this, but we discuss to what extent we do understand, and we don't pretend to understand more. But what we do understand, just like today, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff here that I've got no access to, you know, to experiencing and commenting on, but some things we can comment on, so we just commented on that, and Krishna's glories were discussed and Harikatha, and we feel advancement in Krishna consciousness. So the same way, you just hear it, and what you understand, that much you appreciate. Adrian.
The Christian, Jesus Christ once said, asked what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul, and love your neighbour as yourself. But they've seemed to have missed the love of your Lord your God and just love the neighbour without, you know, divorced of God. So how do we, and this is very similar to loving the devotee, loving Krishna by loving the devotee. So how do you serve in the right mood of serving the devotee while serving Krishna without losing Krishna in the process?
So a few things there. You brought up a few things. This first one about this Christian kind of approach. My mother said to me, we had a thing the other night with the family, and we were talking about all my times I was arrested in different countries. And my mother said, "What did you do? What did you do with all the money that you collected?" So I said, "Oh, you know, we opened schools, we opened hospitals, we fed the poor." I didn't say, "Oh, you know, we worship Krishna, you know, pouring milk on the deity, you know, all that milk pouring on the stone, you could have fed so many hungry people." Because unfortunately, their philosophy has been compromised by general materialistic values, you know. And therefore, we saw that in the beginning, which was a revolutionary spiritual movement of love of God, turned into materialistic welfare work because it was more popular, because it's more accepted. You know? So therefore, Christianity spread through education, teaching people, and hospitals, just like here in Melbourne, all the big Catholic hospitals, St. Vincent's and all these ones. It's a compromise. It's against the principles of that we're not the body, and love of Godhead is the highest goal of life. But but it's kind of motor goodness in a way. So that's that side of the thing, you know, that it's not spiritual. Spiritual means janma kama chame dibhyam. The Krishna consciousness and the science of Krishna, study of Krishna consciousness, and evam yovaditatvadaha, those who have become realized, chakvadeha puna janma naiti, they don't take birth again. That's the best hospital. This is the best hospital, better than all the other hospitals put together, because here you become mature, graduate from here, you don't take birth again. No more mature body, no more disease, no more old age. Wow, this is the best hospital. And the other one about the relationship with Krishna, relationship with devotee. Now, one thing we have to become qualified to be the parampara authorized representatives. We have to follow. If we follow strictly orders of our spiritual master, then we're qualified to act as Krishna's representative and accept service on behalf of Krishna. Because we're the people that, you know, they're under your guidance, they're serving Krishna. You tell them what to do, so they're following your order. So, you know, it's like, I mean, and we consider we're serving the Guru. We're serving the Guru. So, why is that accepted by Krishna? Because because Brahmanishtam, Srotriyam Brahmanishtam. Srotriyam means he's heard what to do. Srotriyam means he's in parampara. He has a guru, he's ordered him what to do. Srotriyam, he's heard. He's been ordered by guru. Brahmanishtam. Nishta means that he's fixed in that order. Brahmanishta, he's fixed in that order. He's acting according to that order. So he's heard what to do, he's been ordered. And Brahmanishtam, he's following that order. Sa gurum eva abhigacchet, you have to surrender to that guru. Sa gurum eva abhigacchet, you have to go to that guru. That's the qualification. Evam paramparam praptam, Krishna says that's how I'm achieved, through the parampara, not directly. So it's Krishna's order. We've got no choice. We can't approach Krishna directly. We have to go through his authorized representative, who's fully following his order. That is approaching Krishna. There is no other way. Yasha aprasada na gati kutopi. There is no other path apart from mercy of Guru. We sing it every morning. Yasha aprasada, without his mercy. Yasha his aprasada, without his mercy. Na gati kutopi. Where is the other path? So there's no other way. You have to approach Krishna through his representative. So you ask, how is it, you know, that's it, no choice. Because we're not qualified to approach Krishna directly. We'll make trouble for Krishna. We'll make trouble for him. not qualified. We'll be a disturbance in the spiritual world. That's why we're not there. Because we're troublemakers. We don't fit in. Question?
By the same token, it's not just the guru, because the guru says serve Krishna. And so even service to guru is also service to Krishna. And the spiritual master doesn't say serve me, he says serve Krishna. So in following the spiritual master, it's not that we're not connected with Krishna, and we're only serving the guru.
Yeah.
So that's a, you know, proper emphasis of fundamental devotion. You serve Krishna, it means Krishna and his devotees. When you serve the devotees, that also means you're serving Krishna. So when you approach the spiritual master, what do you say? You say, serve the deities. You know, serve, offer it to Krishna. Not for me, actually, it's for Krishna. That's where, you know, Prabhupada says, I'm just a transcendental tax collector. I collect obeisances on behalf of Krishna. That's my job.
Very important point.
Yeah, so it's not that we're approaching the spiritual master. And you see this sometimes. So you've got the spiritual master comes and then all the disciples go running around frantically just trying to serve the guru. And the guru gets upset because, you know, they're neglecting the other devotees. So the devotees gave Dev Maharaj all the fruit. And then he said, why did you give me all the fruit? I can't eat it all. What about the other guys? They want some too.
Prabhupada's...
We've got to see Krishna and the devotees. We've got to see Guru and Krishna together.
Prabhupada's the best example of what it means to serve Guru. Because even though there were so many others who were closer, apparently, to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and his associates and hung out with him and, you know, lived with him, Prabhupada didn't. He only met him a few times. But he served the order. He served the order. And because he served, Prabhupada explained that you know, that's my success. That was my success. I only focused on the order of my spiritual master. And Prabhupada was criticized when he came to Mayapur by Gaudiya Math, that he didn't go to Samadhi Mandir of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He didn't go and visit. He was criticized. What is this? This Bhaktivedanta Swami, he comes, he doesn't even come to Guru Maharaj's Samadhi and pay obeisances. Prabhupada said, the reason why I didn't go is because I always felt the presence of my Guru Maharaj with me. Because I was in the preaching, in following his order. Because I was surrendered to his order. I did what he wanted. Yes. So Prabhupada's showing that example. That's what it means to serve the Guru. It's not an external thing, superficial thing. It's serving the desire. Serving the order of the spiritual master. I mean, that's a mature disciple. He's not externally making a big show, but he's internally, the guru's desire is the prime focus of his life. So that devotee, he gets Krishna. He's already got Krishna. He's in Krishna consciousness. Iha yasya hare resha kamana manasa gira. He's serving the Lord. He's already liberated. That's what you're going to get in the spiritual sky. Same thing. Absorption and satisfying Krishna. You're doing it now. So, spiritual master has given you that service. And Anirudha Prabhu said, this is the misconception in India. So many of the gurus, and they're coming and, you know, they attract so many people, and it's all focused on them. You know, and by Guruji's mercy and everything. But it's just, they're just cheating. Not bringing people to the point of Bhagavad Dharma, the point of Krishna's service. They're not doing that. So they're bogus. That's called bogus guru. Arshala Madhuji.
When you say that Christianity sounded up as a revolutionary movement to bring people back to the love of God, can you your emphasis on the love of God because the revolutionary movement, yes, but for me, Christianity is working with exactly what when you come to the love of God.
What was the question?
It's about that Christianity was originally a revolutionary movement about love of God. No, the teachings of Jesus were definitely pure love of Godhead. But in due course of time, the parampara was Sakalena Mahata Joganashta Parandabaha. Teachings were distorted.
Do you have any references?
Not here, but
I can't remember exactly where it is, but Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment? That was the question.
That's what I do understand.
And he said, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind and soul. And the second is love your neighbour as yourself.
I quite understand. Those are two loves.
So that's it. That's Prabhupada would describe, Prabhupada would say he's teaching love of Godhead. Would refer to Jesus Christ, he's teaching love of God. He was teaching love of Godhead.
The words of the Korean gospel of Jesus Christ when he went to pray, he was
quite desperate. Anyway, it's something else. Generally speaking, he was teaching love of Godhead, so we don't want to go into it in more detail here. But for the purpose of looking at that as an example of how pure teachings can become influenced by the values of the society which is they're existing in. Yes.
Like the material energy will consist of three modes of material nature, and which bewilders the living entities, and they forget Krishna, and they are running after the rasas. Indirectly, the rasas they are searching for, as you mentioned in previous class. So, if the modes were not there, if the material energy does not exist, then they wouldn't be bewildered. It's just because of the existence of the modes. Existence of the material energy.
Same question.
Yes.
I'll give you the same answer. If you think that all the prisons were closed, no criminals? Huh? Let's close all the prisons, there'll be no criminals. That's what you said. If there's no material modes of nature, there'd be no materialism. It's like, let's close down all the prisons, no more criminals. Material modes and material nature are produced by the Lord to gradually purify conditioned soul. And that's the purpose. They're meant for gradual. They're meant for dealing with a conditioned soul so that he can gradually be purified. So we should thank Krishna for giving us the modes of material nature.
That's what Prabhupada says, that Krishna is very kind. He helps us fulfill our desires. Where would you go if there weren't three ways of material nature? You'd be nowhere, because you wouldn't be in the spiritual world. It's Krishna's mercy. Means mercy, actually.
And
just as you get a different kinds of mercy.
Guna Mayi.
You get and the club mercy, and you get the lotus mercy.
And if you've got a problem with the three modes of material nature, then we've got the solution. Mam eva prapadyante mayam hitam tarantite. You surrender to Krishna, you can cross over the influence of the modes.
Why is Krishna sitting in the spiritual world? Why is he not?
He's not in the spiritual world, he's here in the temple, he's everywhere. He is everything. He's all pervading.
So, I'm saying that
he's not just sitting up there. He is mata paratanam nanyat kinchirasti dananjaya. He's the basis upon which everything is happening. Sutre manigana iva, just like pearls on a thread. He's causing everything. He's the controller of everything.
Nobody would be a demon or try to.
But he's also given us independence. So if you want to be a demon, you can be. He's given us that independence. And if you want to love him, then you can love him. So that independence he doesn't take away. So the demons are there because they want to be demons.
If he is physically present here, Rosie, then everybody could serve him physically. We can't do anything, Rosie. We can't hold him or we can't do anything.
You can't do it. Why do you think he's standing here? Why do you think he comes? He's not interested in Melbourne. He's interested in accepting your service. So he's standing here waiting. You say you can't do anything. Look! Why does he come here? Start doing things for him. Glorify him. Serve him. That's why he's standing here. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki.